Booyah, ladies and gentlemen. Why am I talking right now? Why isn't the entrance music playing? Gonna mix things up. Different vibe to this podcast. So I'm gonna do a little intro, then play our music, and then get into the hot and heavy of it. So first things first, holy crap. Do I ever have to apologize for how long it's taken me to get to this? Like most of this podcast will be themed around, things got crazy in the city, and even before that, I had some busy times with personal stuff that I'll be more than happy to talk about. So if it sounds like I sound different, it's because I do. Usually I'm in Zach's house, happy with wine and sitting, and now I'm in my car drinking an energy drink. I'll touch more on Zach later, but he's not here right now. So it's solo. You're stuck with me and only me. So if you see a green Accord driving around the city, talking to himself on an earpiece, it's me recording a mobile podcast. So hopefully it turns out great. Sorry if the audio isn't the greatest, but I'm dealing with whatever I can here. So let's just dig right into it. Sponsors, Boy Burma. Boy Burma's still on board, 10% discount on their online store for all their t-shirts, and they just got their hats in, and they're so fucking dope. Flat brim snapback. I think there's two or three different varieties, so I'm pumped to get some of those. And yeah, so on their online store, password podcast for 10% off them, and then a new sponsor that I'm equally stoked for, Cinder and Sage Jewelry. So Cinder and Sage is another local business based out of Calgary, and if you were to, let's stand on a sidewalk in Calgary or like Edmonton or maybe even Vancouver and watch 20 girls walk by, probably 4.7 of them would be wearing Cinder and Sage jewelry. Quality handcrafted goods, mainly for the female folk, but I've probably spent more money there than anybody else because they also make great gifts. And I used to have a necklace, which I lost. So maybe I should get another one. So cinderandsage.com on their online store. Password is wisdom. Enter that. And it's either 10% or 15%. I can't remember, but either way, it's better than nothing. So thanks for them for stepping up and supporting our little journey, which right now is a solo journey. And it feels kind of good, but I might need some positive feedback and support after this one. All right, roll with it. Episode 7. Here we go. Something I should have done on episode 1 is talk about that song that you guys hear all the time. It's not a normal song. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but it's actually like Winnie the Pooh. It's a Winnie the Pooh mashup kind of deal. It was actually made by one of my buddies, Trevor Samer. He's never gotten the shout out and respect that he deserves for that. And he actually downloaded that track on SoundCloud. You just have to log on to Trevor's SoundCloud profile. It's TR3VS, like Trev's, but the E is a 3. So log on there and download it, and it's a long song. We only give you a little bit of a snippet, but it's actually a gem, so give that a little listen. All right, so I got to rewind like 25 days here. It's been so long. iTunes is probably going to be pissed at me because they got to upload all this stuff after probably forgetting about me. So I guess I can start off with telling you guys about my little journey up north. So I did a 10-day stint firefighting. And this shows how little I knew about it. I thought I was going to like an oil rig, but I was going, and it turns out I was at the oil sands. So the Curl Oil Sands, Albion, Alberta. Don't even know where that is. North of Fort Mac somewhere. But it was great. I enjoyed it, but it's a little overwhelming walking into an environment that you know nothing about. Basically, just walk to this place, and I'm like, now what do I do, you know? And I was a little nervous and sketched out from the begin with because, how can I put this? I didn't want to be the shittiest firefighter there. I guess that's the easiest way to explain it. I didn't want to be the lowest guy. You know, be it I might be, you know, the lowest ranked guy on shift, I didn't want to be the lowest skill set wise. So I was a little nervous for that. But as the tour went on, they did some really, really dynamic, you know, high stress, situational training that was outstanding, and I was impressed with how I performed in those situations. So yeah, I was super stoked on that. And you know, there isn't the greatest call volume out there. You know, you're officially, you're basically there for insurance purposes, but you know, you do get some calls. And the tricky thing is, it's in the middle of nowhere and there's really no defined roads. So you have all these emergency numbers and a map, but there's no roads really on the map because it's all just kind of dirt. So you get this emergency contact number, there's a call there, and you have to find your way there. And these guys trained fucking hard. So like literally 3 or 4 hours a night we would train. Like one day we did all mapping. So I would be driving, captain was in the back seat, and he'd fire off a contact site, and I had to find a way to navigate us there. So that was a little overwhelming, but you know, I've always liked mapping and driving and stuff, so that was fine. And then on like day 9, we did RIT training. RIT, acronym Rapid Intervention Team. So a RIT team in the fire service is, it's a shitty fucking job because you never want to have to do it, but it's also one of the most rewarding jobs. So basically, you always work in teams of at least 2 in the fire service. You know, it's called freelancing. You never freelance. You never work alone. That's how firefighters get killed. But so RIT training is when two guys, one team goes in. So be them the rescue team or the interior attack team. The RIT team stands at the entrance of the structure that they're entering in case shit goes down, like guy has an air tank malfunction or falls down and injures himself, or if there's a mayday, that's the RIT team's job, is they swoop in like fucking lickety split and get these guys out of there, because it's priority based, obviously, our service. So it's our protection, our team's protection, and then the general public's protection. As shitty as that sounds, that you guys are third, but if we're dead or injured, you can't get help, as shitty of a reality as that is. So like day 9, for like 3 hours, we did RIT training, and it's like someone, we're all crawling in, we have our masks blacked out, we're crawling around in a room, and our captain or training officer will sneak around and twist off one of our air bottles. So you have to, you know, unhook your regulator, and you do rescue breathing or like shield breathing, so you're like literally hugging the ground, shielding your airway with your hands because you don't want to breathe in, you know, carbon monoxide and cyanide and all those deadly gases. And then the RIT team has to swoop in and, you know, hook you up to emergency pack and drag you out of there. So we did this training for like 3 or 4 hours on the 9th day of a 10-day tour, and it was fucking exhausting, but great and rewarding. And like I said before, I was stoked with how I performed in my skill set. So, but the other thing is I work nights. And it doesn't sound like that big of a deal, so whatever, you just sleep during the day. But it's not the fucking same. So we work for 12 hours, and we stay up for the whole 12 hours, not like other fire jobs. Stay up for all 12 hours. So you train, check trucks, you know, do the usual shit. And then you go back to camp, and you sleep during the day. So you think, you know, if you continue on the normal routine that you would, you know, you have breakfast and hang out and then go to bed and then wake up. But I find if I would sleep for like 7 or 8 hours, I would be foggier than shit and would have the hardest time functioning. I literally had to sleep for 10 hours every day, which I somehow managed to do because I was so exhausted. So basically, work for 12 hours, get back to camp and have breakfast. Yeah, have breakfast, and then you go to bed for 10 hours, wake up, have dinner, and then go to work for 12 hours times 10 days. So that's fine and dandy until you get home. And then, like, my sleep pattern was so fucked when I got home. Every night I'd wake up at 3 a.m. And I'd be awake from, like, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. wide awake. Because that's usually when we go to the gym there. And that's another thing. Like, these guys are extremely healthy and extremely fit. So it was fucking great. We worked out twice a day. You know, ate healthy. And, yeah, it was great. And a good group of dudes. It's just like any other fire hall I've ever worked at. You know, a good group of guys ready to work hard and work together. So overall, up north was great. And I've also received my paycheck, and that was also great. Not that those things should be important, but it's a nice little added bonus. Because things are pretty dangerous up there, so you get compensated nicely for that. So then I get home, ready to return to normal life. And for those that don't know me too personally, I don't really care about vehicles or cars. I just kind of drive whatever. I used to have a Jeep. I always wanted a Jeep, so I bought a Jeep. And I friggin' smashed it, so now I just have a car. Bought a car that's been around our group of friends for a while. Just kind of the handy downer. It's like a 01. I don't even know what year it is. 01 Accord, 03 Accord, 99 Accord. One of those three. And I've had a leaky tire for fucking ever. And it's just like once a month I'll just put air in it because it's a super slow leak. There's a nail in it. It's super slow leak, so I just put air in it once a week. So obviously I come home to my temporary home from up north and my tire's flat. I'm like, fuck, I get home super late at night. I'm like, whatever, I'll change it, change my tire in the morning. I got one of those little, basically the size of a tricycle tire in my trunk. I'm like, I'll just change it in the morning. And then, this is the most bizarre, freakish accident in the history of the universe. And yes, that's a bold statement, but hear me out. Somebody puked on my flat tire. So it's not like it was parked outside a bar or downtown. It was parked in, like, a community of Western Canada that's famous for being the suburbs. Like, you have a family. You go to Tuscany. All they are is families and babies and dogs and strollers. It's a Wednesday night, and there's puke. That's the only spot there's puke. How weird is that? So, imagine waking up at 8 a.m. after getting, like, 3 hours sleep, and I had, like, a bowl. This isn't my house. I don't really know where garden hoses or anything is. So I have a bowl of water from the sink. And I'm like splashing it on this tire. So I changed this pukey tire and threw it in my trunk. I actually just got the tire back. Cal Tire. Thanks for Cal Tire. No charge. Boom, bam. Still haven't changed it, though. It's in my trunk. I'm still riding dirty with the donut. I look like a Muppet here. So then that happened. And then I don't even know where to begin. The floods. The great flood. Holy shit. Do I ever have a lot of stories about this, and I really don't even know where to begin. And hopefully it'll come full circle, because the subject of my podcast was originally going to be friendships and relationships. But I'm not going to try to talk about it. We'll just see where my flood talk goes. So for those of you that aren't from Calgary or don't know or haven't seen it, or you've been living in a fucking hole, but we got slammed. A week, almost like a week straight of rain, and then one day, shit can only take so much, you know. People are smart, civil engineers and building designers, and everything is built to withstand, you know, extreme weather to a certain extent, but at some time, something's just got to fucking give, and gave it did. So, state of emergency, I think it's like day five right now of state of emergency. Things are somewhat back to normal. Downtown is still shut down. So some people are stoked to get a few extra days off work, but, so downtown has no power. I think there's 27 communities in Calgary that were evacuated. Some were evacuated just as a precautionary measure. Some were evacuated because they wouldn't have power or utilities, and others were evacuated because there was horrible, horrible flooding, mainly like Elbow Park, Mission, closer to the downtown core is fucking catastrophic. Literally. So I grew up in Bowness, and I'm actually heading to Bowness tonight just to check on some friends, and I want to see the house I grew up in. So I grew up on Bow Crescent. It's right on the river, and, you know, a few times I remember growing up, things were a little sketchy when we got a little bit of rain, but this is insane. Like, look at some of the pictures online. There's people kayaking down Bow Crescent. Like, one of my friends from the fire hall, a close family friend of theirs, had so obviously the whole basement flooded in their house in Elbow Park, and it was about 6 feet up the door in the main level of their house. Like, shit is fucking horrible. But with all this comes some outstanding, amazing individuals and group efforts that just give you so much faith and confidence in society and fucking makes your soul happy. So on the negative side of things, it also brought out a lot of douchebags. So right after this happened, people were stocking up, right? Like the planners, the hunker down kind of crew. So everyone's buying bottled water. Home Depot jacked up their bottled water prices to $42 a flat. And then, of course, you know, these companies have brilliant CEOs, so they hit the back pedal button and said, oh, it was just a isolated event. One or two stores did it accidentally. I'm like, fuck that. There was some sketchy memo that went out, and you guys were trying to capitalize on the misfortune of others. So that's fucking brutal. And there's a few, like, liquor stores downtown charging, like, $20 for a bag of ice and shit like that. But now, when shit goes, you know, it's a little calmer and it's safe for, you know, members of the general public to go out, it's fucking insane. So this morning in Calgary, there's a post on Twitter, and this is the power of Twitter is so fucking amazing right now. Search the hashtag YYCflood, and it's remarkable. Like, I follow, I think, 400 people on Twitter. Or no, 600, and I can't even keep up with my feed. It's fucking insane. So this morning, I can't even remember who organized it. Someone said, if you want to help, volunteer, meet at McMahon Stadium. That's where our football team plays, the Stamps. Meet there at 10 a.m. They were looking for 600 volunteers, and they were going to pick them up in cheese wagons and take them to various houses. And I think they're mainly just like door knocking and checking on people that have moved into their house. So it's almost like a welcoming committee. And they got 7,000 people. Within 15 minutes, they have had all 600, and they started having to turn people away. That's fucking unbelievable. And I bet you they're still out there right now. It's, you know, 5:45 at night. I bet you they're still knocking on doors. And then obviously the other amount of praise, and I'm obviously pretty biased on this subject, but I can expand on it even further, is the emergency services. So obviously, you know, the ones you know about, Calgary Fire, Calgary Police, Calgary EMS, have been working fucking overtime, and literally have been working overtime. Like, I've been coincidentally having a few shifts, both scheduled and on an emergency base with Rocky View. And there's all calls. So an all call is a page that goes out to every station. And there's all calls saying, you know, if you're still on duty, if you're still out there working, you know, just check in with command so they know who's out there. Because that's another thing, too. It's awesome when the cavalry runs out and everyone is there to help, but you still need some sort of accountability. You have to know who's there in case shit goes down. So that's been awesome. Obviously, you know, those three main departments have been outstanding. But then you got to think, and this is me being biased, is the rural guys, too. Not even out on the West End where I'm at, but like High River, Nanton Fire. There's that Nanton firefighter that's so fucking famous. I think his name is Steve. You know, there's that picture of him carrying that lady. And he's got like the best smile on his face you'll ever see. And it's all over Reddit, all over Instagram and Twitter. And he actually just signed up for Twitter today. He's got like 20 followers. I should have messaged him. Maybe we can get him on this podcast. But I guess the story that came out of that is why he has such a big smile on his face. Is because he's carrying an old lady out of a car that was flooded. And I guess as he picked her up, she said, I haven't been carried like this since my wedding night. So this shows that, like, even in the worst fucking tragedy imaginable, there's still people willing to be positive and be happy and look on the bright side of things. So obviously all the rural fire services, and like Bray Creek has been hit so fucking hard. That's where I've been spending most of my time. So one night I went to the Springbank Park for All Seasons. That's basically the hockey arena connected to the high school. That's where they had the evacuation center for everyone in Bray Creek. So I went there, and they were mainly just doing accountability, setting up Red Cross and figuring out, you know, who needs what and where to get those resources from. So it was mainly just, it was almost like a lots of admin stuff. Everyone was still in relatively high spirits then, because that was night one, and they didn't really have too much information as far as what happened out there. And then the next few nights I was on shift, and we went out there and set up a EOC, so Emergency Operations Center. Basically all that does is it just cuts out the middleman as far as like a dispatcher is concerned. Because that's the other thing you have to think of. As hard as those three departments or services are working out in the city, someone has to dispatch them. So the 911 command center is just getting bombarded. So those emergency communicators and dispatchers need to get the pat on the back that they deserve as well. So so we set up an EOC. So it's basically like a command center on location. So if there's any calls that come in, it goes directly there. And then they triage them and send the necessary resources as needed. So I was part of that. And actually it was one of my good friends who's my captain that was running that command. So it was really fucking cool to work with him. And you know, just get everything done. And it's tough, man. And those are my friends that know me know I'm a little sensitive. And it was tough. It definitely chokes you up. It you don't really have an opportunity to get choked up there, because it was literally 12 hours of us running around for 12 hours straight. But, you know, it's when you're driving away and shit's slowing down and you see people and, you know, like in Canmore and Cochrane, it was Canmore, there's rumors of people in grocery stores just in their underwear, because that's all they had. You know, they just left and they didn't think they were going to be evacuated for that long, and they're toast. That's it. Their places are, that's it. That's all they got. They're wearing underwear. So as bad as everything seems for you, you know, there's always someone in a worse situation. So, and that's the one thing that this city is growing towards and being amazing is the sympathy and the help and the compassion that people are showing is fucking outrageous. Like, and excuse me if I leave some places out, but like all the YYC food trucks, Notable, like all these high-end and soulful places are offering free meals. I'm just saying, if you're displaced, if you need a place to stay, if you need, you know, anything, just come. And I think that's outstanding. You can't profit in situations like this. Everyone needs to come together. So that's been outstanding. It does make you happy. And, you know, especially with Stampede coming up, press conference this morning. Stampede's in 11 days, and it's a fucking go. So that is going to be wild. There's going to be a shit ton of overworked and hopefully, you know, well-compensated, be it money aspect or other ways, individuals for scrambling to get this shit done. But it's going to happen, and it's going to be probably one of the best ones ever. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. I'm stoked for that. And then, speaking of Canmore, so Canmore got hit really hard. They got hit initially. It was actually, wasn't even the river. Is that Creek? Caribou Creek? Cougar Creek. Cougar Creek. Overflowed. Shut down the highway. So this was the first report this shit was going down. So my buddy, I laugh now because it's over and everything worked out, but one of my close buddies from the fire hall, he was supposed to get married in Canmore, ladies and gentlemen. And didn't happen. Did not happen. And this is a wedding, like, they've been engaged for 11 months. And his now wife is such a sweetheart. She took everything in stride. And people came, speaking of people coming together, these people came together. And they somehow MacGyvered an amazing wedding in his backyard. So he lives in Valley Ridge, so he's got a pretty big backyard. And it was amazing. 100 people, one backyard. They barbecued, they had food, booze, you know, Justice of the Peace, and everyone was there. It was fucking amazing. And, yeah, it just shows that you don't need much as long as you have your friends, your family, and some high spirits that shit can work out the way you want it to. So that was amazing. That was just on the weekend here, and it was definitely tough. You know, I'm a crier. I cry big time. I love outdoor weddings because I can rock the sunnies and hide these teary eyes. And the sunnies were on that wedding. And it was just because it was so much more emotional because, you know, my buddy's wife, obviously she had so much invested in this. And, like, it is the wife's day. It's the girl's day. It's not the guy's day. It's the girl's day. And, you know, heaven forbid anyone's wedding not going to plan. And you could definitely tell there was a little bit extra emotion as far as that concerned when she was walking down the aisle. But as soon as things got rolling and she realized that this is how it's going to be and everyone's still here and it still looks amazing, as did she, that it turned out great. It was an amazing day. So yeah, I haven't moved, folks, if you guys are wondering. I haven't moved. Traffic is just fucked. No one go to work today. Okay, why are the roads so busy? Anyway, maybe it's all the volunteers rushing to Bonas to help me dig out people's basements. I sure hope so. So, the one cool thing, not one cool thing, but an interesting part of shit going really bad is, I'm a firm believer, is a key indicator of people's true colors, being of which the people you meet when you're in distress or the people you meet when you're helping people in distress. And it's mainly, it starts, as nerdy as this sounds, it starts on Twitter or social media or Facebook or the news or the radio. It starts there. That's how seeds get planted. And like I said before, I had full intention of talking about friends and relationships before all these tragedies happened in our city. And all of the points that I'm going to try to make throughout the rest of this podcast are so much more bona fide through the unfortunate events that have happened. And it's truly amazing. Like, I've met 25 to 30 people just through the floods, as crazy as that sounds. You know, be it a firefighter from a different hall that I meet, or someone on Twitter asking, you know, if this road is closed, or, you know, my mom lives in Discovery Ridge, and that's still evacuated, so, you know, I'm asking questions on there, and someone messages me back, and, you know, it's just overwhelming, the support that you get. Speaking of which, my mom is still not in her home, god damn it. Her house is fine, so she lives in Discovery Ridge. For those of you that don't know Calgary well, it's kind of like a Canmore Banffy-like area of Calgary. It's in the trees, and it's so fucking lush and amazing, but it's also really low-lying. So she's lucky that she's in a condo. She's four stories up, but her parkade's flooded, and they haven't had a chance to pump it out and test the structural integrity of the building. So all her possessions and everything is going to be fine, but she won't be home for a good few weeks. So that sucks. And she's a nurse, and, you know, she needs to go to work, and yeah, so definitely thinking about her a lot. It sucks, and she's a biggest sweetheart, and she's having a tough go. So staying with friends and my sister and stuff like that, so it really fucking sucks when it hits home. And that's, you know, a small problem. She doesn't have a house for a little bit of time. You know, there's people that are actually truly homeless that have no possessions. So if anything like that happened to her, I would be in the fucking mental hospital right now. So yeah, hopefully a speedy, you know, rebuilding process out there at Discovery Ridge so my moms can get home. Haven't moved still. My god, I have an energy drink. This is gonna be a long drive, which it's good for you guys because it might be a long podcast. So friends, family, relationships. I've always been the biggest friendship dude in the world, and mainly that is because I think it's because I've lived in the same area for so long. I've always lived in Calgary. I've always lived, you know, in the same quadrant of Calgary. So, like, the friends I've had for, like, most of my good friends I've had for 15 years. Junior high. The other one's high school, so 12 years. And it's just, when you've known someone that long, it's hard to break the bond. You know, and not saying that you want to, but when you've known someone that long, you've experienced so many highs and lows together, it's impossible to ever break that bond, I guess. That's a fucking bold statement, Blaine, but I guess with the good group of friends, that close core, you'll always be friends no matter what. And that's a great thing about, you know, our modern society, group texting. So, like, my dudes, I've got, like, 5 or 6 extremely close dude friends. Thankfully, we all have iPhones. And I have a group message that we've had going on with them for years. So I just log on to that group message and, all right, who's flooded? Who's safe? Who needs what? Who needs this? And luckily, we're almost all safe. Like, we're fucking spoiled. We're all okay. But when it's that group of people, so you're good friends, that's a category I'll label them with. Because I think I've got, like, 4 categories of relationships. So the top one is obviously the BFFs. Like, the people whose shoulder you cry on, the first person you call when something good happens, the first person to be there when shit hits the fan, that's the BFFs. I've probably got 2 or 3 of those. One outstanding one. Some of you might know him. He's a big, muscle-bound meathead that lives in Australia. And that's how I can make that example so easily, because Mirzy, good buddy of mine, he's been away off and on for the past, you know, 5 years. Went traveling, met a little lady. One thing led to another. Now he lives in Australia. He's actually in the process of moving back. But when it's something like that, you think that would be, you know, a challenge or a hardship on any relationship. Because it's basically the opposite AM-PM. You flip-flop, and that's what time you're on. So it does make it difficult having conversations. But like, we have a solid phone call every once every 2 weeks. I got a 20-minuter. Ends with an I love you. And we text every day. So that those are the guys that you need. You need that. You know, if you don't have, if you weren't born in the same city, you know, you're moving around your whole life, or you have a hard time meeting friends, I don't care who you are, you need at least that one person. Even if it's just a support group when you do have a crisis, you need that fucking person, no matter what, hands down. If you don't have it, think about investing a little more in the existing relationships you already have to make one of those to that level. You know, yes, family members can fill that void, but somehow the friendship bond is different than like the brotherhood or the sisterhood or the parent bond. It's different. You need someone on your level, in your shoes, that can relate to your success and your failures. You fucking need that. So if you don't have that, it definitely would be something I would consider reaching out and trying to improve some relationships to get that person in your life. So boom, not to single out Mirzy, but it's pretty much you, you big dummy. And then, yeah, the other one I talked about is the good group of friends. So I'll use myself as an example because it's the easiest way to explain it, but by no way am I trying to compare myself to anyone or say that this is how you should do it, but I probably have about 10 or 15 of them, you know, be it dudes from high school, dudes from the fire hall, or, you know, girls I went to high school with, or guys I played golf with. It doesn't matter where they come from or where that relationship was initially established. The main thing is that it's still there. You know, it's the people where you have pub nights with, or, you know, someone cancels plans. You're like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're all going to this person's house, and we're going to bullshit in their backyard and whatever. Those are the people you need, too, because it's more for the social aspect of it. Yes, they can help you with problems. Yes, you know, you can go on holidays with them, and you can, you know, share all those bonds, but it's the social aspect. You know, let's go to this house for this barbecue. It's this person's birthday. Everyone comes together. It's always the same crew. It's always the same vibe. Everyone's always on the same page. That's an amazing experience. When you have a large group, and I call it like a loyal group of followers and supporters like that, it's a humbling feeling. So on that aspect, I've been blessed and lucky as well. Category three are just kind of like the friends that you rarely see. And these ones are tough. These are the ones that it's a fucking balance. Because we all have those relationships where you see a person every few months. You have that bullshit conversation that no one likes having. Hey, how are you? How's work? Good. What's new? Nothing. Blah, 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 blah. Same shit every fucking month. And, you know, and yes, sometimes it's hard to let go of certain friendships and certain relationships. And, you know, you like these people. You have experienced stuff with this. You like seeing their success and you like sharing stories. But at some time, you have to find out the balance. Like, does this person bring anything to my life positively? Yes, if they do, then by all means, you know, keep doing that once a month or that two a month, or, you know, keep saying hi, keep bullshitting, say hi to their family, you know, keep doing stuff like that. But if they don't, and I don't mean to sound like a dick here, but I would say feel free to sever the tie. Like, if it's someone you see and you just say hi to, great, no big deal. You can say hi to whoever the fuck you want. Say hi to them, catch up, whatever. But if they're somehow bringing a negative aspect to your life, which falls into the third category of friends that I have, the ones that you actually don't need that you think that you might need. Those are the tough decisions you need to make, right? And it's usually friends from a long, long time ago that you have somehow drifted apart over time. And that's the tough thing, because you used to be so close. You used to both like skateboarding and techno music. Those two do not go hand in hand, but there's probably someone out there that understands. And now, neither of you skateboard, and you fucking hate techno music. So when you get together now, it's like, oh, he still likes this, I'm doing this. You know, he's married with kids, I'm single and get drunk every weekend. And if there's no common ground, I think it's just not worth it. You know, if it's taxing or if it's work, that's the other thing. If it's work, do you find yourself wanting to talk to this person, wanting to hang out with this person? Yes, then go for it. If not, then, you know. And the one thing about those kind of friends, too, is that it's easy to, I don't want to say it's easy to let go, but physically it is easy to let go. Because it's not like a friend, a serious relationship where you have to, like, break up. You don't have to break up. You just slowly stop talking to them. Sounds like a dick thing to do, but that's how it works. That's how all friendships are lost. Like, think of people you used to be close with and you're not close with now. Why? You didn't break up with them. They didn't call you, say, I dislike how you treat me, and you chew with your mouth open. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Peace. It's not like that. You just go your separate ways, and that's healthy. It's organic. You're not positive in my life. You don't do anything for me. I don't care to see you anymore. You meet some new people. That's category 5. I lied to you. There's 5 new people, and that's the most exciting thing. So if your friendship bank is clogged with all these people you used to know, used to have in common with, used to like hanging out with, and now you don't, then it makes it harder to meet new people and gain new experiences. And that's the most fucking exciting thing about life, is meeting new people. I've met some unbelievably outstanding new people recently, and it's overwhelming. It's almost like, you know, when you meet someone, like, you're like, I have to be friends with that person. This person seems like such a gem. How have I not met them before? Why aren't they in my life? You know? And that's a cool experience. It's gaining a new friend, a new human. There's so many humans in this world. You need to meet them all. I want to meet them all. That's impossible. But I do enjoy meeting new people. And unfortunately, sometimes it's a negative thing to happen to give you a reason to meet new people. Like a flood. Like a city in turmoil. For some reason that gives you an avenue to meet new people, then, you know, I don't want to do the whole everything happens for a reason thing, but obviously the whole purpose of a flood is not so you can make more friends, but it does allow for a good avenue for you to test out new friendships and relationships and strengthen the bond between existing ones. I think that's the main point I was trying to get across. So don't be shy. And that's the other thing too, is I'm spoiled as far as the aspect that I enjoy talking. So if there's a person out there that enjoys talking and we have common interest, you put us in a room together for 4 minutes and we will be friends. And that's just the way it is. Whereas other people aren't as lucky. You know, other people just aren't as comfortable. They're shy. They don't like meeting new people. I mean, that's when you rely on the existing friends you have. You know, friends have friends have friends have friends. Everyone has that 6 degrees of separation, and everyone can truly reach out to someone that might seem very far away and distant extremely easily. So don't be shy. Don't be fucking shy. Even if you need to have 2 glasses of wine at dinner at a bar before you go talk to strangers, do it up. Get that, you know, diminish that filter with some alcohol and get out there and meet some new people because, yeah. Like I said, I'm spoiled and I'm definitely an anomaly as far as the friendship department goes because I meet new people all the time and I can totally tell right away if they're going to be a positive fit in my life and with my group of friends. So it's, and that's an amazing feeling. Yeah, it's like in your soul meeting new people. So get out there and meet some new peeps. Get some new contacts in the old iPhone. I had an iPhone accident recently. What even happened? Oh, my sleep button. You know, the little button that allows your phone to shut off? Stopped working. So I took my phone to the Apple Store, and they didn't seem to mind that my phone had a shit ton of cracks and water damage. My sleep button didn't work. So I got a new phone. So that's kind of nice. A new phone that I'm now, I guess, is my mobile podcasting station in the gridlock traffic of Calgary, Alberta. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to this fucking city, mainly, like, the stats. Like, unfortunately, I think there's been 4 deaths. I think they found another body in a house in Mission today, so 4 deaths. 5 deaths, maybe, which seems like a small number, but, like, floods technically don't kill people. they leave people homeless and stranded and possessionless, but they don't kill people. So the fact that that happened is a heart-wrenching turn of events, but the statistics that I'm stoked to see as far as how many houses, how many people, how many families were displaced from their houses, how many houses have rebuilt, you know, how many are in the process of rebuilding. Actually, our Premier Allison Redford had a press conference today, and we got $1 billion from Ottawa. $1 billion in help. And I think it equated to like $1,500 per person that's been, I guess, evacuated, and $500 per kid, which is fucking outstanding. There's like families of six posting ads on Kijiji that they need trailers to live in. So they're going to get whatever that quick math is, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. And that's outstanding. You know, they'll pay for, you know, a hotel room for a month, or a flight to family members out east or something like that. So that's fucking outstanding. And here's another thing. People aren't going to show up to these emergency services thanking events you're going to have. I'm sorry. Well, maybe medics will, because they're weird, but no fire guys are going to show up. So there's tons of people, and it's awesome of them, they're doing that. Like, there's chiropractors saying, free back cracks, I guess. I'm not a chiropractor friend. That was a bad example. Restaurants, free meals for all emergency services for, like, this week, because you've been working so hard. That's great. There'll be a lot of paramedics there, because they're douchebags. Sorry. A lot of paramedics are douchebags. Why do ambulances have two doors in the back to fit the paramedic's head through? Sorry, but I'm not a big fan of paramedics. So they'll show up to your dinners. By all means, feed them. You know, and they have been working hard. But, like, some cops might show up, but I can guarantee you no fire dudes will show up at all. Saying free meals for firefighters, you're not going to get many people turning out. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. You know, if you want to drop something off at the fire hall, drop off coffee, the best thing is, like, kids. Kids draw pictures. You know, thank us from the flood. You see so many of them online, and that's amazing. That's what we want. Bring the kids to the fire hall. Give them a tour. Let us throw our gear on them. Give us a high five and all that fun stuff. That's what we like. Thank us in person. Don't bake us a meal. That medic joke I just used, there's also a firefighter joke. It's, how do you know? How can you tell if a guy's a firefighter at a party? And you go, I don't know. Don't worry, they'll tell you. Bah! But it's true. It's a fun job to have, and we're going to tell you about it. So deal with it! Oh, so that's it, folks. Hope everyone's staying dry. It's going to be the hardest now. Like, I'm sure shit will hit home tonight. I'm going to knock on the door of my old bone-ass house, reintroduce myself to the people, and see how I can help. But I'm mainly just looking to look how the old Zimmer casa held up. Probably not that great. Bungalow built in the 40s. A few cracks in the foundation. But whatever. So yeah, thanks for listening, friends. A little bit of a different vibe because I'm solo. So Mr. Zachary! Zach had to step aside from the podcasting for a little bit. Just life. He needs to take care of life. But he's, you know, took a few steps back to take care of some life things. And then his family cabin got bombarded with the flood. So he's actually been up there all week with his old man sorting shit out. So let's think about Zach. You know, send him your tweets, Z-Lister. And, you know, tell him how much you miss him on the podcast, because I sure miss him right now. And hopefully his family cabin's okay and his shit's getting sorted. But, yeah, in the whole scheme of things, you have your health, you have your family, you have your friends. Possessions are replaceable. It might seem like a tough time, but, you know, the only thing you can do is get a good night's sleep, eat your vitamins, and try not to be a grumpy person in the morning. Because if you're a grumpy person and you're bitching and complaining about shit, that is infectious. I almost said the wrong word there. And it's going to make other people around you grumpy and bitter and bitchy too. So try to be positive. Keep your head up. Fucking smile. Talk to strangers. Meet new friends. Continue to improve the friendships you have. And fucking stock up on bug spray, folks. We're going to get some zombie hybrid mosquitoes that are going to fucking tear our flesh apart for the next few months. But if that's the least of our problems, then we've got it made in the shade. So thanks for listening, friends. Episode 7. Again, I'm sorry it took so long. Life will hopefully slow down in the next little bit, and I'll be able to bang out, you know, continue with the frequency that we were doing before. So once again, thanks to my sponsors, Boy Burma, Cinder and Sage. check them out and pick up some of their goods. I am looking for more sponsors. I'm not going to lie to you. I would like an energy drink sponsor and a alcohol sponsor. Does anybody have any hookups with that Minhouse Brewery, the Mountain Crest guys? I think he lives in Arbor Lake. He's got a Hummer or an Escalade. Maybe someone talk to that dude and set him onto this podcast and see if he wants to hop on board and sponsor this whole chunk of change. If not, it's fine. I'll keep buying $7 bottles of wine. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Keep your friends and families safe. Give little ones a big hug and a kiss. It's been a tough little go here. And for those people out east and not in Calgary, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but you are spoiled and you don't know how good you've got it. So enjoy all the little things, folks. Summer's here. Let's be positive. I love you all. Peace.